Welcome to New Season Ministry with Evangelist Jeremy Cook. We hope today's message will challenge, encourage, and uplift you in your walk with the Lord. Enjoy the message.
So if you have your Bibles, I want you to go back with me tonight to the book of Galatians chapter 5. The book of Galatians chapter 5. We are continuing I'm continuing these series of messages on cultivating the spiritual fruit, cultivating what God would have us to produce in our lives. Because I want to go back to saying this from the very beginning, that when we started these lessons, when we started these messages, that God's desire for your life and for my life is that we would produce fruit. God's desire for our lives, God's desire for our church, God's desire for the church as a whole is for us to be fruitful Christians, for us to become, because the fruit is about becoming what Christ would have us to be. Yeah. Amen? And how many want to become more like Jesus? Yes. Amen. There used to be an old song that we used to sing that said, I want to be more like Jesus every day. And this business of walking with the Lord, or should we say discipleship, is to produce or to make us what we should be. And that is, and ultimately is to be conformed into the image of his dear son. So that when people look at us, what they see is they don't see Pastor Jeremy, they don't see Pastor Tony, they see Jesus that is shown forth through us. At the end of the day, that is what spiritual fruit is all about. Amen. And so in Galatians chapter number 5, I want us to read this again tonight, church, if we can. I'm actually reading tonight from the King James because I'm just being honest with you, I like how this translation words what we're going to talk about tonight. Some translations will talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the particular fruit of the Spirit that we're going to be talking about tonight. Some translations will translate it as into kindness. I don't think that is an accurate or strong enough translation of the word there. So I want to use what the King James has to say here. So let's look tonight, if we can, at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We've read it before. We've read it for the last several messages that I've had the opportunity to preach. But let's read it again. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, over the last several weeks, we have talked about love. We've talked about joy. We've talked about peace. We've talked about long-suffering or patience. And so tonight, I want to talk to you on this thought. I want us to talk about cultivating the fruit of the Spirit, and I want to talk to you tonight about gentleness. Cultivating gentleness in your life. Amen? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord God. I'm asking you, Lord, in these next few moments, Lord God, that you would anoint these lips, Lord God, that you would anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And Father, we'll never cease to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says amen and amen. You may be seated tonight in the house of God. Gentleness. Gentleness is the ability to come under the control of the Lord. Amen. Let me say that again. Gentleness is the ability to come under the control of the Lord, but it's the ability to come under the control of the Lord to help shape the responses in your life and towards others. You see, God expects the church to be gentle. God expects the people of God, the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. He expects us to be gentleness in our dealings. He expects us to be gentle in our actions. He expects us to be gentle in the way that we handle things in this life. Because what we are finding out is that gentleness, and really, as we dive deeper into these next several fruit of the Spirit, they kind of tie all in together. The gentleness, the goodness, the meekness, the temperance, or the self-control. Because all of this is in response to having strength under control. God expects us that when we talk about gentleness, our life should be full of gentleness. It should be full of gentleness towards our spouse. We should be full of gentleness towards our children. We should be full of gentleness towards each other. We should be, if we're in business, we should be full of gentleness towards our employees and to our employers. Our life should be a life of gentleness. How does this come about? Because ultimately, it is to take our strength. Because here's the thing about gentleness. Gentleness is strength under control. Meekness is strength under control. And again, like I said, some of these are going to tie in to one, are going to tie in to one another. But to be gentle does not mean that we are doormats. But gentleness means strength under control. That means that we put our lives and our responses under the control of God. Because we cannot respond how we ought to respond in a biblical sense unless the Spirit is the one that is guiding us. Why? Because in Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says, Paul, when he's talking about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, he would say in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So what is he saying there? He is saying what God is wanting to do in your life, it is a work of the Spirit. You can't wake up one morning and just decide to be gentle. You can't wake up one morning and just decide to exuberate love. You can't wake up one morning and just decide to exuberate peace. The things that God is wanting to do, He has to do in you by the working of the Spirit. And it is up to you and I to walk according to the Spirit and let our lives be under the control of the Spirit. Now, sometime before we get into my points here tonight, that's a hard thing to do. Because if anything, we don't like to be under the control of anybody. I mean, we, especially as American Christians, we do not like anybody to tell us what to do, how we should live, how we should live our lives, because bless God, this is freedom, this is America, and I'm going to live my life the way I'm going to live it, and nobody should tell me what to do, nobody should give me directions, and how dare you tell me how to live my life. And so we don't like to be under control of anybody, but let me stop right here and let me tell you something right now. You are under control of something. You are either under the control of the Spirit of God, or you are under control of the forces of darkness. Oh, now I just stepped into something. So let me see if I can just wait out just a little bit deeper. There is nobody on the face of this planet that stands in between. Amen. There's nobody on the face of this earth that stands in between. Whether we want to admit it or not, we actually do not have control. We may think that we have control. We may think that we're going our own way, but we are either being influenced by the kingdom of light, by the power of the Spirit of God, or we are being controlled by the things of this world. And the greatest thing that you and I can do is bring our lives under the subjection of the Spirit of the living God. Amen? And so God's will for us, God's will for the church tonight, is for our lives. We talked about love. We talked about joy. How our lives should be filled with the joy of the Spirit of God. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. We have talked about love being the greatest. We have talked about being people of peace. We've talked about being people of long suffering or patience. But what about this business of being gentle? Have you ever been around somebody who just was not gentle? Now, I'm not talking physically, but I'm talking about in words or actions or deeds. They just, for whatever reason, they just cannot be gentle. But God's purpose for you and I and cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is that, again, let me be very clear. This is not something that we can just simply pick or choose. If we are going to be everything that God has called us to be, every one of these things have to be dangling off of our tree. Amen? See, you can't have love and not have peace. You can't have peace and not have long suffering. You can't have temperance and not have and not have meekness. It's not the flavor of the week. It's not that today you have love and tomorrow that you have peace. If you are filled with the Spirit of God, and if your life is under the subjection of the Spirit of God, then all of these should automatically flow. Why? Because like we talked about in the very first message, that if we are connected to the vine, then the things that flow from the vine ought to flow through us. Yes. So can I, thank you, Holy Ghost. Let me just preach here just for a second. When women are pregnant, that umbilical cord that is attached to the baby, through that cord is where that baby gets all the nutrients. And so whatever is flowing through the mother is what is flowing through the kid. What is flowing through the baby. Right. So if there are good nutrients that are flowing through the mother, then there are good nutrients that are flowing into the kid. And it's the same thing with us. We are connected to Jesus. And if we are connected to Jesus, whatever's flowing through that vine ought to flow through us. Yes. Amen? Amen? And so, but more often than not, sometimes we're disconnected. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yes.
Oh. So let's talk about this gentleness. There's five things I want to give you about being gentleness, about being gentle. Five things that I just want. This is not going to be one of these hoop up and down, hop up and down type messages, but that's okay. This is about discipleship. God wants us to be gentle. So five things, five areas that God wants us to be gentle in. Are you ready? Number one, God wants us to be gentle in our personality. Can I tell you, more often than not, in a lot of the situations, you are the antidote to the poison that is flowing through this world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen? More often than not, you are the antidote. Now here's the thing. You can either be the antidote or you can contribute to the poison. Now, people always say, well, bless God, that's just my personality. You neither like it or love it. This is just who I am. Well, no. bring it under the subjection of the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Right.
And let God change you. I mean, think about it. Do you remember? Remember John? Remember the disciples? And Luke's gospel? They go in to preach. And the town just turns away their message. And they got mad. The preachers got mad because nobody in the town wanted to hear their message. And as soon as they get out, they look at Jesus and they tell Jesus, "Well, Jesus, we need to call fire down out of heaven and consume this place." And Jesus had to look at them and say, "Y'all really do not know what spirit you are."
Yeah, right.
You see, their personality was the fact, well, bless God. God, this is if they're not wanting to listen to me, then I'm just going to strike them down. I mean, it's them same disciples that later on are arguing about who is going to be sitting next to Jesus in the kingdom. Right? Come on, are you trekking with me right now?
Yes.
See. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Can I tell you, people that are gentle don't care about titles.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to say that again. People who are gentle do not care about titles. They don't. They're not looking for the notoriety.
Yeah.
See, people whose personalities are not gentle, they'll do something for the church, but if enough people don't pat them on the back,
come on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll just fall all to pieces.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm preaching right now.
Yeah.
But we have to be gentle in our personality, because listen to this. At one point, John is talking about, well, I'm the greatest. I should be the greatest. But when he comes under the subjection of the Spirit of God, you find out in Revelation that he describes himself as, I'm just a fellow brethren and your companion. Now listen, let me talk about personality here for a minute. God doesn't want to change your personality. It would be bland. See, personality is what makes us unique. Right?
Yes.
Personality is what makes everybody different. Some people are funny, some people aren't. Some people
Amen.
Some people are loud, some people are quiet. I've been criticized over the years in my ministry. That I would, you know, people would come up to me and say, you know, well, Brother Jeremy, you want everybody to be like you. You want everybody to run. You want everybody to shout. You want everybody to do this and do that, just because that is what you do. And I said, no, I don't want to change the personality of the person. I want to change the response to the presence of God. Because here's, oh my goodness, I'm going to try not to trail off here for just a moment here. God doesn't want to change our personality. See, there's people that cry. There are people that shout. There are people that just fall flat on their face. There are people that get loud. There are people that just can't help but just weep. But here's the thing. When they come under the authority of the Spirit of God, when His presence comes in, there is a response. Amen? There is a response. But gentleness. God wants us to be gentle in our personality. And He says, give me who you are. Give me your mind. Give me your will. Give me your emotions. Because that's the spirit. That's the soul of a man. That's the soul of a woman. Give me your mind, will, and emotions. and let that come under the control of the Spirit of God. When that happens, all of a sudden the gentleness of the Spirit begins to come out. Number two, you have to be gentle in your outlook. People who are led of the Spirit of God in gentleness do not look at things the same way that other people look at. You ever met someone? Pastor Tony, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Yeah, I think it's going to rain today.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I tell people all the time, I tell you when, on our travels and stuff, going to preach revival, going to go here, going to go there, going to go down to South Georgia to preach a revival. Oh my goodness, Brother Jeremy, you're going to have to go through Atlanta.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, that's a dangerous place. Can I tell you this? People who are ruled by the Spirit of gentleness don't look at everything the same way. Let me explain to you what I mean here. Is this okay tonight?
Yes.
Amen.
I remember when I first got saved. It was probably about a year or so after I first got saved. There was a lady that came to our church. Bound up with drugs, had a drug problem. Came into the church that Sunday morning. She was down on the altar crying, weeping. She was so broken. The church was gathering around her. The sisters were praying for her. I stand off over to the side. It just so happened that that same church, her ex-husband went to that church. Saved, filled with the Spirit of God. Great guy. Looked over at me and go, yep, I've seen that before. And I'm thinking to myself, where, even at that young age, it said at 16 years old, I'm thinking to myself, where is the gentleness in this? Because he had already had the outlook in his mind, well, that's, I've seen that before. She's going to go right back out and she's going to she's going to just fall right back into it. And can I tell you, that woman right now is saved still, has a successful marriage, has a successful life. Because gentleness, we don't look at everything. We don't look at things the way that the rest of the world does. Listen to this. Philippians chapter 2 verses 4 through 5 says, don't look out for yourself. Don't look out only for yourselves. But look out, this is what the Bible says, for the interest of others. Can I tell you this, that our outlook, if our outlook is always inward, we are not ruled by a spirit of gentleness. Because if we are always looking at self, if we are always looking at this, what's in it for me? You'll look at everybody else's competition. And can I tell you, in ministry, can I tell you the thing that I hate about ministry? Is I hate competition. I hate, and I'm using that word. I know Pastor said he hates using that word this morning. I don't mind using one. I hate competition in ministry.
Yeah, I agree with you for sure.
It's not of God. It destroys churches. It destroys ministers. It destroys everything.
Yes.
But he said, listen, don't simply just look out for yourself, but also look out for the interests of others.
Yes.
You know what that tells me? That tells me that sometimes I ought to do things with Brother Johnny in mind. That tells me that sometimes I need to do things with Pastor Tony in mind.
Oh, come on.
I'm preaching better than your shout right now.
You're doing good.
So we look out for the interest of it. Here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus was a servant. Let me just say this, and I know we're just talking. I'm weary in ministry of leadership conferences. We want to teach everybody how to be a leader, but we don't want to teach anybody how to be a servant.
That's good.
And nowhere in this Bible does it ever teach me how to be a leader.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
But it tells me everything about how to be a servant.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
It tells me everything about how to deny myself.
Yes.
And to take up my cross and follow after Him. It teaches me, let me just go ahead and take a step further, because there's going to be a lot of people that's going to listen to this message. But let me tell you about this. And there's no such thing as a servant leader. No such thing. You can't find it in the Word of God. It's not, that is a marketing term that we want to put out there. But God called us to be servants. He called us to serve. And it is our job and it is our responsibility as men and women that are led of the Spirit of God. We are not leaders. We're not looking for our name on the marquee lights. We're not looking for our name to be put in the bulletin. We're not looking for anything. If we are truly gentle people of the Spirit of God, then we will be willing to serve and serve with all of our might. Because Jesus gave us that example in John chapter 13. When he knelt down and he's the Son of God and he washes his disciples' feet.
Yes.
He kneels down as the Son of God because nobody else there wanted that dirty job. Somebody was supposed to be there to wash feet.
Oh,
I'm getting ready to preach right now. Somebody was supposed to be there to wash feet as was customary. But nobody wanted to do the dirty job. And Jesus is looking around and he's saying, nobody else wants to do this? Well, I'll do it. And Peter, in his high-mindedness and his pridefulness, wanted to look at the Son of God and say, well, you're the Son of God. You don't need to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part with me. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
You see, Jesus was the servant of all. And he showed us the pattern that he did not look at everything the way we look at it. Because some of us would look at that now, oh my goodness, I'm just going to preach it right now. So you can get mad at me if you want to get mad at me. Well, I ain't washing those stinking feet. Well, you got pride in your life. And pride is sin. And sin will separate you from God. And sin will send you to hell.
Amen.
He called us to be a servant.
Yes, he did.
And as servants, we do not look at everything the way that the rest of it. We see a need and we fill it. Amen? Third thing. God expects gentleness in our words. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29 says this. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Only speak those things which are helpful. And when we talk about no unwholesome talk, immediately our mind, because the King James will say, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And so we want to simplify that. We just want to talk about, well, you know, well, God's saying you shouldn't cuss. Well, that's true. But what he's talking about here is he's talking about words that do not bring life.
Yes.
Let me just say this, and that includes cussing. Can I just preach it for just a second?
You need to. Go ahead.
If every time that you get mad, you got to look at somebody and tell them how ticked off you are, but you want to put a P word on the end of it, you need to get your mouth sanctified.
Amen.
Your mouth needs to be sanctified.
True.
Because here's the thing. Words are always a gateway to what's in the heart. Because what does the Bible say? The Bible says that as a man speaks, so is he. Jesus would also say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes.
So if there's ugliness in here, ugliness is going to come out.
Yes.
If there's peace in here, peace is going to come out.
Yes.
If there's love in here, love is going to come out. If there's hatred in the heart, hatred is going to come out.
Yeah.
I'm preaching right now. This is biblical Christian living that I'm teaching to you right now.
Yes.
And he says, the words that you should speak, those words should be used to build up, to edify. Words can tear down. Or words can build up. Listen to what the wisest man in the world had to say here. Are you ready? Proverbs 15, verse 1. A gentle word does what? Turns away wrath. A gentle word turns away wrath. Have you ever, and I've been guilty of this, okay? I'm telling myself here, confession is good for the soul. Sometimes I have a habit and I have a problem that somebody picks up the phone or calls me and says, hey, I need to meet with you. I need to talk to you about something. And immediately in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, you know, well, let them just say one word that's cross. Now I'm going to get, I'm gonna tell that person what for. You ever been there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on. And you're already building up this hostility. You're already building up this anger. You're already building up this hatred. And before you even walk in the door, before you ever walk into the office, before you ever do anything, you've already made up in your mind. If that person just breathes wrong, I'm gonna tell them what for. But the wisest man in the world, Solomon, said, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Can I tell you the biggest thing that would solve a lot of problems in marriages today? A gentle answer.
Amen.
A gentle answer. Instead, as husbands and wives, what we want to do is we want to get the last word. We want to put the check mark, well, I told him or I told her. And so now, men, I'm just going to preach to us here for a minute. Instead of just looking at her and just say, you know what?
Baby, you're right.
What?
Where's she at?
If she was here, she'd give me an amen. Right.
Amen.
But a gentle answer always turns away wrath. The only way that this mouth can be tamed is you have to bring it under the control of the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Has to be brought under the subjection of God.
Amen.
And you have to let gentleness proceed out. Even when people say something to you that you don't like. Can I tell you, gentleness will correct a lot of stuff. Number four, God expects us to be gentle in our expectations. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2 says this, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. How do we respond when people do not meet our expectations? How do we respond when people do not meet our expectations? I tell people all the time, you follow me around enough, before too long, I'm going to disappoint you. I'm going to let you down. Because I'm not going to do everything perfect. How you respond to the expectations that you put on people. I'm just going to say this. One of the greatest dangers that the church for many years did for new converts is they put an expectation on them that they could not walk in.
Exactly right.
Right.
Because how in the world can you expect, how can you expect someone who is a babe in Christ to do, know, say, live like somebody who's been walking in this thing for 20 years? I didn't expect any of my kids when they were born to learn how to speak perfect English, learn how to walk exactly right, how to drive a car, how to feed themselves, and everything. Those were things that I had to teach them.
Amen.
But why, as the church, do we expect that?
True.
Why do we, as the church, put exceeding expectations that nobody can reach? I said this before in a prior message that I preached one time, and this is what I said. Sometimes you have to give people the space to fail. Now, I'm not saying that's... Hear me carefully here. I'm not giving a license for people to live however they want to live. But I will say this. A Christian is only responsible to live in the light as God has shown it to them.
Yes, amen.
And the light that God has shown on my path can be different than another person. And I cannot hold them to the same expectation that God holds me to.
That's true.
Yes. Yes.
What we've got to understand here is that how we respond to our expectations. What happens when people, or what are the, when people do not measure up? But what happens when God does not meet our expectations?
Because see, we blow up the people for not meeting our expectations. And sometimes we blow up at God because God didn't meet our expectations. Well, God, I expected you to do this.
Yeah.
Well, God is not going to be held hostage by our expectations.
Amen.
And God is not the magic genie that we rub out of the lamp. And when we say jump, God shows up and says, how high? So how do we handle when our expectations are not met? We can either respond by exploding or we can respond by gentleness. When expectations have been surrendered. See, here's the thing. You've got to surrender your expectations to God. I've said it before. You've got to surrender your dreams, your hopes, your desires into the hands of God. And what I've learned is sometimes God doesn't meet my expectations. I know that's weird. Now, what I have learned is more often than not, when God does not meet my expectations, a lot of the times it's because He wants to exceed my expectations. But I also know this, sometimes God will disappoint me. I know that sounds weird. But in my own finite mind, sometimes God will disappoint me because the lessons that God is trying to teach me are greater than anything that He could ever give me.
Yeah.
And we have to be gentle in our expectations. And then finally, give me 5 minutes and I'll finish this up. We have to be gentle in our response. Proverbs 16 and verse 32 says, better to be patient than to be powerful. So let me ask you this. How are you in your response? Are you proactive or are you reactive? Can I tell you, more often than not, Christians or just people in general, they're more reactive than they are proactive. We react to what is happening around us, but that is never God's plan for us. God did not call us to be reactive people. God has called us to be proactive people. Proactive people are spirit controlled. Reactive people are controlled by others. And if people can control your response, if people can control your response, you'll never operate from a place of gentleness. You'll always come from a place that you're always blowing up. But if you will be proactive, by simply saying, it doesn't matter what goes on in life. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter the good, the bad, the ugly, the ups and the downs. The roller coaster of life, so to speak. It doesn't matter. I can choose how I respond because of the spirit that's living within me. Because look at this. And I said this as a... I gave you all these points for a reason. God wants us to be gentle in our personality. God wants us to be gentle in our outlook. God wants us to be gentle in our words. God wants us to be gentle in our expectations. God wants us to be gentle in our responses. Why? Because when we are, what is given to us is P-O-W-E-R. Power. True power
in the Spirit, true power and true anointing. I'm just going to say this, and then I'm going to bring it to a close in the next couple of minutes that I have here. I heard somebody say the other day, or I read somewhere the other day, and they said, anytime I hear anybody preach or sing, I'm always looking for the anointing. And part of me wanted to ask, well, what does that look like? Because more often than not, we've attributed the anointing and the power to the high-pitched sermons. And the anointing is really there if everybody's laid out across the floor. And it's the anointing is there when the choir is singing at the top of their lungs and people are shouting and jumping over pews and everything. And if people are getting healed, then that's the anointing. But can I tell you what real anointing and real power will do? Above all of that, what I look for is I look for demonstration of the fruit. I don't look for demonstration. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to speak from my perspective here. You can take with it and do whatever you want. I don't look for demonstration of gifts. I look for demonstration of fruit. I'm going to say that again. I look for the demonstration of the fruit. You show me a person whose life, hell has fought them, and they maintain their integrity like Job. They're not constantly yelling at their spouse, beating their kids, flying off at the handle at everybody. I'll show you a person that's anointed. Because I'm going to tell you this. There's a lot of ministries that are going around, and my God, I'm just going to preach. I'm just going to hammer it down here for just a minute. There's a lot of ministries that are going on right now, and I'm not being judgmental, but I'm just trying for you to see something. They'll lay hands on you in an altar service on Sunday, and they'll go to the bar on Saturday. And can I tell you, it doesn't matter to me how many people that they've claimed to heal.
Right.
But you show me something that it's somebody that's gentle in their words. You show me somebody that comes to them broken, Brother Johnny, and says, you know what, I've messed up in my life. I've done things that I shouldn't have done. I've sinned. I've said things that I shouldn't have done. Looked at things that I shouldn't have looked at. Been to places that I shouldn't. And that person that they're confessing that to, they'll look at them and put their arms around them and say, we're here. And we're going to restore you in the meekness. Because I know that if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be right there. That could have been me. That could have been me out at the bar. That could have been me with the drugs. That could have been me with the other man or the other woman. Now I'll show you a minister. I'll show you somebody in the church that's anointed. God has called us to be gentle. And I know that this message is different. I know. But not every message is meant to that, for that. I'll joke with this. You know, I've had people tell me that I can't teach. That's a matter of perspective, I guess. But this message teaches us. This message teaches us that true power comes from the fruit that is exhibited in our lives. When that fruit is shown, power is released. So let me ask you this before we bring it to a close. How is your gentleness towards people? How is your gentleness in your words and your reactions? How does that flow out of you? Does a soft word turn away wrath? Or when you speak, does chaos engulf when you speak? When things don't go your way, is there Christian parts go flying everywhere because you just explode? Or do you humble yourself and say, you know what, that didn't go exactly the way that I thought it was going to go. But God, I trust you. I know that person over there that said that they loved God failed and messed up. But God, help me to love them. Help me to love them. Help me to raise them up, because I know I could be exactly where they're at. How's your gentleness tonight? Amen. Stand with me all over this house.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Evangelist Jeremy Cook. If you would like more information regarding New Season Ministry, to schedule Jeremy to minister at your event, or to support the ministry with a love gift, please contact us at 859-404-4007. Or you may email him at pastorjeremycook@gmail.com. God bless, and we will see you next time on New Season Ministry.